You're listening to 100 plus most effective weight loss tricks of all time. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're here to give you the best, most effective, and sometimes startling hacks and hustles you need to know to lose weight and keep it off forever. Episode 5, Digestion and Satiety. Together, the stomach and intestines are known as the gastrointestinal tract, or GI tract. The food you eat passes into this digestive system, where it is processed both mechanically and chemically, until it is broken down into small, easily absorbed fragments. It is here that carbohydrates are disassembled into simple sugars, such as glucose and fructose. Most fats are dismantled into fatty acids and monoacylglycerols, and proteins are pulled apart to become amino acids. Your body then absorbs these basic nutritional units along with any micronutrients that are present, such as vitamins and minerals. The whole operation of digestion is regulated by signals passing to and fro along the pathways of your enteric nervous system, as well as various hormonal and other chemical signals produced by cells lodged in the lining of your gastrointestinal tract. Gastrointestinal satiety signals. Gastrointestinal peptides are synthesized in certain areas of your brain, as well as being manufactured in your GI tract. Stephen Woods, Doctor of Physiology, Biophysics, and Experimental Psychology in the USA, writes, "When food is eaten, it interacts with receptors lining the stomach and intestine, causing the release of peptides and other factors that coordinate the process of digestion with the particular food being consumed. Some of the peptides provide a signal to the nervous system, and as the integrated signal accumulates, it ultimately creates the sense of fullness and contributes to cessation of eating. Although dozens of enzymes, hormones, and other factors are secreted by the GI tract in response to food inside the GI tract, only a handful are able to influence food intake directly. Most of these cause meals to terminate, and hence they are called satiety signals. Satiety signals create a sensation of fullness and reduce your desire to eat." Inside your gut, an intricate network of biological substances generates signals that are sent to your brain when you eat or drink. In conjunction with the signals from your other senses, such as sight and taste, and the rest of your digestive tract, they interact with your central nervous system to forge the sense of satiety. Satiety signals are relayed to the brain either indirectly via nerves such as the vagus nerve from the gastrointestinal tract or else directly via the bloodstream. Most factors that influence how much food is eaten during individual meals act by changing the sensitivity to satiety signals. These include adiposity signals, that is, body speech signals giving information about how much fat mass is already stored in the body, as well as habits and learning, your social situation, and stressors. These satiety signal-inducing, hunger-suppressing substances include CCK and leptin. There are also GI signals that have the opposite effect to the satiety signals and actually promote sensations of hunger and appetite. One of these hunger-stimulating substances is one we've mentioned before, ghrelin. Satiety signals are produced in your GI tract during meals. They transmit information about mechanical properties of your food, for example, how much it stretches your stomach, and chemical properties of the food as signaled by the release of certain hormones. Having a range of different satiety signals enables species that are omnivores, such as humans, to eat a wide range of whatever foods are available. It means that your body produces a medley of gut peptides, each of which is tailored to digest the particular food passing through your GI tract, while simultaneously telling your brain exactly what foods you have eaten. Your body produces different signals in response to particular macronutrients, carbohydrates, fats, and proteins, or combinations of these macronutrients. By keeping account of signals that convey information about how much energy is in the food you've eaten, your brain is able to make you want to stop eating when you've consumed sufficient calories, even before you have absorbed those calories in significant quantities. If this did not happen, then at any time you ate a meal that was too large, your body could become overwhelmed by a deluge of carbs and fat. Two types of satiety. Satiety and satiation are produced by the hunger-suppressing signals that are triggered by eating. As mentioned earlier, satiation develops during a meal and makes the diner want to stop eating. Satiety, on the other hand, develops after a meal and suppresses hunger between meals. There are two types of satiety, short-term and long-term. The short-term satiety system. This system notes how full your stomach is and which nutrients have arrived in your gut. Its job is to send hunger signals, such as ghrelin, to your brain when it's time for another meal. In the short term, your brain receives satiety signals by means of hormones and nutrient signals. It's when the nutrients and other products of your food are absorbed that your body sends messages to your brain telling it, "Hey, we have enough building and maintenance materials to be going on with for now, thank you very much, and we don't need to order any more for a while. In fact, eating more right now is going to give us a work overload because we're busy processing the last meal, so stop sending out hunger signals and send out satiety signals instead until we run low on building and maintenance materials again. When that happens, we'll notify you." Hormone signals. The hormones insulin and CCK are released from the GI tract during food absorption. They act to suppress feelings of hunger. Nutrient signals. Signals triggered in the digestive system by food's nutrients tell your brain that you have consumed sufficient vitamins, minerals, protein, etc., and you don't need any more in the immediate future. They include the following: rising blood glucose levels, elevated blood levels of amino acids, and blood concentrations of fatty acids. In other words, if your meal contains a range of nutrients such as sugars, proteins, and fatty acids, it is more likely to give you satiety. This is why, for short-term satiety, it's so important for you to eat a diverse array of foods containing a wide variety of nutrients. Note that when we say sugars, we don't necessarily mean processed table sugar. Sugars occur naturally in many whole foods. The long-term satiety system. This system calculates how much fat is stored in your body. Under normal circumstances, when your long-term satiety system senses that you have plenty of well-filled fat cells, it releases various hormones and biochemicals to inform the energy intake regulating parts of your brain. In turn, your brain sends signals to dampen hunger and make you eat less food. When your fat stores diminish, it increases your hunger. This is meant to act as a balancing mechanism. As mentioned earlier, fat cells produce the satiety hormone leptin. It's leptin that lets your brain know the total amount of energy that is stored in your body. The more fat, energy, you store, the more leptin your fat cells produce. People with large fat stores release more leptin and therefore should, theoretically, eat less in the longer term. But the long-term satiety system can be disrupted by dieting. In that case, why doesn't leptin do its job properly and make us all slim? Leptin is not simply the satiety hormone. Its role is more complex. High blood levels of leptin do help with weight loss, but this hormone's main function is to protect your body against weight loss when nutrition is scarce. Leptin thinks that its main job when you are on a restricted diet is to plummet to low levels. Leptin is still living in the past. It has not yet updated itself to recognize the overabundance of food that surrounds many people in the 21st century. Components of satiety. Satiety is moderated by a combination of cognitive, sensory, and physiological signals. Sensory and cognitive signals generated during consumption of food are important for satiety. Satiation and satiety are not intrinsic, but are instead the result of a complex interaction between culture, the organism, that's us, and food. Satiety is regulated not only by the type of food you eat, but also by events that take place even before you eat and drink, and which continue as food passes through your GI tract, being digested and absorbed. Many of the components necessary for satiety are also necessary for satiation. There is considerable overlap, because satiation after meals is important for satiety between meals. Andrew Hill, professor of medical psychology at Leeds University, says, "Hunger and satiety rely on a whole constellation of psychological and physical factors that most people are unaware of. Some of them are described here. You need as many as possible of these components to reach satiety when eating a meal. Otherwise, you are likely to leave the table feeling vaguely dissatisfied. You will feel hungry sooner after the meal and will probably be bothered by a constant desire to snack. And if you snack, it's likely you will end up consuming more calories in one day than you would have if you'd simply reached satiation and satiety at every meal." Fullness and emptiness. The part of the brain which is responsible for controlling your energy intake receives satiety signals in response to such factors as feelings of fullness. When the stomach is comfortably expanded, its stretch receptors send fullness signals to the brain. Note that for weight loss, the stomach should not be overstretched. For people who eat relatively quickly, the first satiety signal their brains receive may be the sense of the stomach's fullness. Fullness, however, is not the equivalent of satiety. Your stomach could be full of water, but you could still feel hungry. It may take 15 to 20 minutes after a mouthful of food has been swallowed for the entire gamut of satiety signals from that food to reach the brain. These signals tell the brain a lot about the food, such as the precise macronutrients and micronutrients that are beginning to be absorbed. Lack of the feeling of fullness. Or you could eat a very small savory muffin loaded with carbs, protein, and calories. Such a small snack would not stretch your stomach enough to give you a feeling of fullness. Lack of fullness can sometimes hamper satiety, although it is not essential for satiety. Satiety is not the same as fullness. You can feel full after a meal, even if your stomach is not stretched to the limit. This is because your brain registers a feeling of fullness or satiety in response not only to the amount of food consumed, but also to the food's nutrients. Cells in your gut record the nutrient content of the food you have swallowed. Then they release appetite-suppressing compounds that are sent to your brain, resulting in that sense of satiety. If the volume or bulk of a meal were the only thing that triggered satiety, then you would feel satiety after eating a whole bunch of lettuce and a bunch of celery in one sitting. Your stomach would bulge, but you would be unlikely to feel satisfied. Fullness does not necessarily equal satiety. That is not to say that food volume does not play a role in satiety. It does. Satiety, however, is complex. In fact, you experience satiety for each food or macronutrient or texture. If you eat mainly protein, for example, you might find yourself craving for fruit and vegetables and losing interest in protein foods. If you eat nothing but huge amounts of fresh salads, you might end up craving for bread and despising the thought of salads. Live on a lot of slurpy soups and you could end up craving crunchy foods. Chew on nothing but hard, crunchy vittles and you might find yourself yearning for creamy textures. This per-food satiety system seems to be nature's method of ensuring that you eat a nutritionally balanced diet. Blood sugar levels. A gentle elevation of blood sugars is important for satiety. When you eat a meal, your blood sugars should rise a little, not too much. This rise signals to your inner guardian that you have consumed energy, so it doesn't need to make you want to eat more. When blood sugars fail to rise much, satiety is hard to reach. For example, you could eat an enormous bowl of multicolored salad for fullness, containing crunchy, creamy, and other textures, with a wide range of flavors for sensory enjoyment, and rich in all sorts of nutrients for nutrition. Yet, if this bowl of salad failed to make your blood sugars rise sufficiently, you would be unlikely to achieve satiety. Sensory enjoyment. Appetite-regulating signals begin to be generated even before food or drink is consumed. Your senses play a huge role here. The sight and smell of food, food-related sounds, objects, and places associated with food in your memory all act together to awaken your appetite and begin the process of satiety. A medley of bright food colors, including, for example, reds and purples, might send the signal, nutritious anthocyanins are on the way. The process continues when food or drink enters your mouth, then travels through your digestive system to be assimilated. When you have eaten mindfully, taking pleasure in the sight, sound, texture, flavor, etc. of the food, your inner guardian feels certain that you have had a proper meal. It gets the message that it doesn't have to release hunger hormones to make you eat more. Lack of sensory enjoyment makes it hard to reach satiety. For example, you could eat an entire head of cabbage for fullness, along with some multivitamin and mineral supplements for nutrition, and some sugar syrup to raise your blood sugars, but you would be very unlikely to reach satiety because you'd be missing the sensory enjoyment. The 100 Plus podcast was produced by me, Chris Clark, and hosted by Anchor FM. Keep a lookout for the 100 Plus book to be launched in 2022. Which gives you all the tricks and hacks from this podcast, plus more. Follow this podcast to stay up to date, and thanks for listening.